Hello, Kanto.
Hello, Kanto.
I'm your host, SBJ.
And I'm your co-host, Greg. Hey,
yep, there we go.
One.
We did it.
There we go.
No stumbling on each other now.
We're in it. 10 episodes in.
We made it to the big
leagues. We made it.
This episode will be about the Seafoam Caves, which we skipped over last episode just to balance these out to a solid, you know, 25, 30, sometimes 40 minutes. And so Seafoam Caves and Giovanni.
Snorovani. I mean, Giovanni.
If you have not gotten there, feel free to listen to the other 9 episodes. Hopefully you've been enjoying them. Our playthrough of Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee. We do this every year with new games, so if you really like these and maybe this is your first time, we did do a series with Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon and Sun and Moon that you can go back and listen to in whatever podcast app you have. When you finish the Blaine fight, you can go south, you can go north, and you can pretty much battle Giovanni right away, but we're gonna...
Well, not right away.
There's not much.
Yeah, well, there's an important event. You learn that Professor Oak's been telling the same bad grandpa joke for 20 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, hold on. We'll put that on hold.
Put it on hold.
We're going to detour to the Seafoam Islands, which I flew to Fiji. I flew to Fuchsia City.
Fuchsia City.
Went south.
Yep. Ran into a bunch of Starmie.
Let me tell you, it feels real good not wild encountering Tentacle.
Yeah.
It feels great.
Did you switch up your surfing partner? Because I rode on Lapras for a while, which is real sweet.
No, not too much. At this point, I had Melmetal, so a lot of people were asking to see it, and they wanted to know. So I did the surfing Eevee. I also kind of... Like, it's fine, but I slightly forget that, like, oh, you know, if you have a surfing Pokemon, you have to make it follow you, but it doesn't follow you on land.
Yep.
So it's a little bit of a bummer.
You can switch it in the water, though.
Oh, can you?
Yeah. You can just say, hey, pop out, and it's like, hey, this Pokemon also knows Swiffy Swim or whatever it's called. Let's do that, and then you swap over. So, yeah, you can switch while you're out there.
Well, cool. I did not know that.
Yeah, I was riding Lapras for a while, which is real cute. Because unlike the previous games, you're actually riding Lapras instead of a shadow that kind of looks like a whale, but not really.
Yeah, Seafoam Islands.
Yeah, the puzzles that I hate, because I forget that part of the puzzle is to fall down a dangerous hole.
Yes.
Why? Just let me take the safe route down through a ladder. Instead of making me fall down a hole to I don't know where I'm going.
So the first thing is, we talked about this with the power plant, but very exciting to see a bunch of new Pokemon. Seal, yep. Dugong, Slowpoke for me.
That Jinx, though. Jinx popping out. Nah.
No.
No.
Psyduck or Golduck?
No.
Which is a bit of a bummer. I guess
I had my Master Ball ready at that point.
I legit probably would have thrown my Master Ball just for, you know, good time sakes. But yeah, none of that. It was exciting. I was very worried about the amount of people that might battle you. But again, I think they did a really good job of, there was a couple trainers, but it felt natural. It didn't feel overwhelming or anything.
There weren't a lot. Like, it clearly, that was not the point of Seafoam Island, was to have a bunch of trainer battles, because I think there's only maybe 3 total.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is a nice break. I'm in here to do the puzzle of the dropping down holes puzzle. And then it's just a good variety of, hey, here's a bunch of Pokemon you've never seen before. Here's where you get them all.
Yes.
I still feel it comes, for a lot of them, it comes way too late. I mean, not as late as the ones that you find in Victory Road, but I did feel like, okay, you're coming a little late here. Like, Shellder at this point, a level 44 Shellder, like, come on. This should have been a little bit earlier. And Slowpoke didn't appear until this time either, if I remember correctly. It's the first time we see Slowpoke. I'm like, this late? Like, I've already committed to multiple different water types before you even showed up, Slowpoke. Way to be late to the party. I guess it's fitting.
The whole game, great. I agree. There's just some Pokemon that feel a little late there. I think the puzzles are fine, the pushing puzzles. We didn't talk about it, but man, like, you have to hit A to push.
Every time.
I didn't think they could make strength worse.
Every time. And it has to go through the dialogue every time. I'm like, yes, I know. I have to push this thing a long way across a floor, and I know it's only going to get worse in Victory Road because you really have to push in there. But yeah, like, just let me just move toward, like, they fixed it in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, and Sun and Moon. They fixed it, and then they unfixed it and made it worse.
Yes.
So dumb. So aggravating.
It was bad.
Ugh. And then if you fall in the wrong place and you hit the water, you do that weird, I'm on a surfboard, but completely out of control. Like, come on. I have Super Eevee with me. They can't navigate waves.
Yeah, it's not terribly great at all, no. But
like, and the puzzle isn't even that particularly difficult. Like, it's just remembering that at some point you have to fall down the hole. Because it's the only way down for one entire set, which is really annoying because most of the other strength puzzles do not require you to fall. But there is just one that absolutely is. No, you have to fall. There is no other way to get there. And if, and like, there's nothing in the game that tells you that. So if you forget, or you forget that you can fall in the holes, because like, if you'd done the mansion, if you've done the mansion before this, like, you know, we did it here, the mansion has parts where you can fall. And so that kind of says, oh yeah, you can fall in places and maybe you should do that here. But like, a lot of the falling has been removed from this game. So I was like, okay, what am I missing? What path am I missing? And then I remembered, oh, right. Some of the strength holes are the ones you have to fall into. And so it took me way too long to remember that fact because there's nothing in game to sort of point that out or say, hey, follow that rock and no, you're not going to fall on top of it and break your neck.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's not the end of the world, but.
No, but it's annoying. I was already annoyed that I had to have Eevee hit A every time.
That's not great.
Do better.
Articuno, fine. Again, I didn't catch it. I saved in front. I checked out the cutscene. Very good.
Favorite cutscene. Favorite cutscene, also favorite bird, spent, again, this one didn't run for me. I spent 20 premier balls, and I caught it eventually, but I was there for a long time, and it never fled. So I don't know if it's a bird thing, like these birds just are on a very short, not like a very, very long, won't run away, or they're programmed not to run away, but or I got super lucky. I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of ats for like, it ran for me like the minute I looked at it. But I was there for a long time with that premier ball and I caught it and I'm very happy. But I never once ran. So I don't know. Like, it, maybe the birds don't run. I'm hoping the birds don't run.
I have not caught any of them, so I have no clue. But yeah, so far they've been good for me.
Yeah, I love the cutscene. I really did. I think of the three, it's the best one. But I'm biased because it's the best bird.
It's the best bird.
It is the best bird.
Tell me about your experience with trying to go to Giovanni and finding out the gym is closed. And so, I think you okay. So your rival is there.
Yeah. So the rival is in Cinnabon Island, getting some Cinnabon. It's like, hey, guess we got all the badges, so the only place that's left is Viridian, but it's always closed. And I'm like, well, fine, I'll just fly there, because it'll be open now.
Yes.
And so I flew there, and he's like, nope, it's still closed. Who would know? So I'm like, well, clearly the old man that's staring at
it knows.
Okay,
I did the same thing.
Because we know Giovanni fled there. how did the old man not see him go in? So I kept saying, no, it's the old guy. I said it like three times. And he's like, no, I don't know what's going on. I'm like, you're lying to me. You're lying to me, old man. I know you know who's in there. And so finally, it's like, fine, we'll go to Professor Oak. So then I flew back to Palette. Well, I didn't, because you get teleported.
Yes.
You get teleported there, and then Blue shows up. And Blue finally reveals the secret that Professor Oak's been trying to be a comedian for 20 years and failing.
It was cute.
It was cute, but not that cute. And then Blue's like, hey, guess what? There's a thing called Mega Evolution. I bet you Team Rocket would love having this, but I'm giving it to you.
I don't remember him bringing up Team Rocket, but...
Yeah, he's like, it would be really bad if Team Rocket ever figured out how to do Mega Evolutions, but they don't have it. I do. I'm Blue. It's a good thing that I'm here. Oh, and by the way, they can't hold items, so you just have to have them in your bag and they can Mega Evolve.
Oh, and by the way, the gym leader's back.
Oh, yeah. No, but then you leave, and the girl in the flower patch is like, oh, yeah, I saw John Giovanni return last night. And I'm like, see? The old man was lying
that's
to
like
us.
So still so weird to me. Like, that's how they introduced you. Like, that was, like, they're like, just a girl outside. Like,
yeah, just a girl outside. Just the girl in the flower patch. She's like, yeah. For some reason, I saw Giovanni sneak in there, but the old man who has literally been staring at the gym for apparently 50 years didn't see that happen. But some girl in Palette, an entire town away, was like, oh yeah, Giovanni's back. I'm like, it's your dad. Giovanni's your dad, and you're not saying.
That twist is really great.
Yeah.
In Red and Blue.
Yes.
It's awesome, especially because mm-hmm. like most of the player guides and even in like the little book you get with the game, it's, you know, it's a mystery of who this guy is. I'm sure like if you were probably not 10 years old like me, you would have probably figured it out. But man, my mind was blown for that. I don't know how they could have made that better, but like
no.
That situation was just like I couldn't help but think this is bad. Like, this is how you're introducing, like, the gym is opened.
Yeah. It was not elegant. The only thing that I appreciate is that Blue's through story is all about Team Rocket and that, you know, he is the person to be the preface to getting into that gym. I like that he has been a constant character constantly dealing with Team Rocket. So it sort of makes it made at least story sense that he was there. I had wished that instead of some random girl telling me that Giovanni was back, that after he gave me the Megastones was like, yeah, and we've tracked him to, you know, Viridian. So go there and try to see if you can find him. Like, that would have been more intriguing instead of walking out of the gym and the girl saying, yeah, I think I saw Giovanni sneak into the gym. What? Who are you?
Yeah. Just, it was just weird.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's fine. Yeah. Giovanni's gym is nothing. It's the lamest gym.
It is. It's boring.
It feels like the old gym with the Team Rocket puzzles. Like they do capture that. It's very small. It Brock's gym gets a pass because yes. It's the first gym and
it's
there's
the first
two,
gym.
Two people and then there's Brock. But Brock's gym has like scale. It feels great. It's beautiful. This literally feels like a gym from X and Y or a gym from Black and White that they just picked up, put in, made it 3D, called it a day.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was nice that like his room was in darkness. Like that, even though we knew who was back there,
that part
like,
was
that,
cool.
That part was going like walking into his like luscious palace of with his berries and his cat. I'm like, I mean, it was his part was interesting. That gym before it, like compared to the two gyms, Blaine and Sabrina's that we did just before this, I was very much like, oh, this is, I just need to get through this. And then I'll get to the more interesting part. Not that he was particularly tough.
Waterfall.
I mean, I did scald. No, I had surf at that point. I did surf. But like his introduction was good, but the rest of the gym was boring. And I was like, let's just get through it. I thought for sure the Persian was going to come out to fight at some point and didn't.
I liked that. I liked that the Persian didn't fight.
So that was nice. But then once you defeat him, he's like, well, okay, I'm disbanding. Like, yeah, dude, this is the third time. Just move on.
You do you.
You do you. You go run off somewhere. But then it was nice that, because previously in the previous games, when Blue is suddenly the gym leader of Viridian, it's like, well, did you, apparently they had no other candidates other than the guy that just lost his champion, so in you go. Here, it was a nice bow tie on Blue's chasing down Rocket. They finally have been defeated, so now I'm going to turn this into a legitimate gym.
Yes.
Like, I thought that was a nice way to install him as the future gym leader, to give it a story reason, to just tie the whole Team Rocket plotline closed. I like, yes, there for it. That was a nice moment. Oh, also, I Mega Evolved Blastoise the entire time through that gym. And I'm like, hey, look what you can have. I'm going to Mega Evolve in front of you and surf all of your Pokemon into oblivion.
Yeah, that was...
And I did.
That was something that they committed from the first gym, of like, Blue shows up, they introduce yourself, he is tracking down Team Rocket the entire time, and so for him to take over felt right, felt good. Obviously, if you played any of the Gold, Silver, Crystal, you know that he is the gym leader after Giovanni disappears. Although, like,
it was a nice full circle, like, it's first gym, last gym.
Multiple universe thing of, like, he never had a Pokedex when he was a trainer, which is a lie.
He didn't. They had pen and paper.
They had pen and paper, yeah. Just invented the Pokedex. It was nice. I do really like Giovanni as a character. I get, like, they did complete his story arc, but man, that before you, like, reach his room, that gym is just very disappointing. Yeah.
It's not great.
And, like, just opening the door to his gym, also just disappointing as well.
Yeah. Just, and then, unlike a lot of the other gyms, where I felt that they had really pulled from a wide variety of Pokemon types, like most of the trainers in there had two, they're almost all the same. It really just felt like, okay, yeah, we know that you're kind of tired with this gym thing and you just want to be done with the game, so here's just this fake obstacle. We didn't do a lot to it.
Yeah.
Just go.
And like... I guess they were trying to, like, capture that feel of that gym, and that's fine. Like, it does, like, the puzzles, the spinny puzzles, but, man, like, they've just proved to us an episode ago that they threw out Blaine's gym, and it was incredible.
It was incredible. Like, apparently Team Rocket's main corporate export is conveyor belts, because everywhere they go, they install them. Who's like... Okay, so now we know who makes conveyor belts in the world, Team Rocket. Because everywhere they go, they have to have them. Game Corner, Silphco. Like, Silphco, did they what? Come on.
The other thing is, like, that between that point, like, I complained last episode that they stopped introducing gym leaders or any like it was just so nice to see Brock and Celadon. It was...
Yeah.
Nice to see Misty and Vermillion, and then they just straight up stop that. And then you go to Blaine, you do the side, you get your Megastone from Blue, you do Giovanni, and it just, why is the Sevii Islands gone?
Yeah, I was really hoping that there was like a thing that nobody knew was going to be in there. And like, it just, it feels, from a game that was really well paced up until that point, those two gyms, the way they are, just is like, there's just not enough here. It feels rushed. Giovanni's gym is boring. It doesn't feel like they worked on it a lot. And then there's nothing and then it's like, okay, and now go to the end of the game. Like, it's just, it feels like they just were like, they were just done. Like, yeah. Okay, yeah, we're done.
And before I hear the like, well, it's a remake of Yellow. Yes, 100% right. It's a reimagining of Yellow. They have like proven throughout this entire game that they took chances and liberties and they paid off.
Yep.
Mega Evolutions.
Yep.
Blaine's Gym.
Yep.
Go Park, Cycling Road. Like they dramatically changed a bunch of things, and almost all of them paid off. And the Sevi Islands accomplished two things. One, which is the thing where I want to hit on, is it accomplished the pacing issue between Blaine and Giovanni's Gym.
Absolutely.
Two, it accomplished bringing a reason to bring in Johto Pokemon into that game, because the entire reason that game was remade is because Game Freak felt terrible that they cut off support between the Game Boy and the Game Boy Advance, and there was no way
they didn't have a choice.
They didn't have a choice, but like it did, like they have gone on record saying like they hated that they had to do that.
Yeah. So I mean, they had to do it though. Like, let's be clear, people who yell at me, they didn't have a choice. They did not have a way to make those two devices talk to each other. I don't want to hear that, oh, they could have spent the money. It was not that popular back then. They were completely switching platforms. They did not talk to each other. And so they started making remakes. Sevi Islands exist because of that.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
You didn't even need all the Sevi Islands. Like, just, you know,
Island 1-2-3 would have been fine.
For Moltres to be on instead of being...
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate it so much that Moltres gets screwed and got screwed again. Zapdos has its own place. Articuno has its own place. You have to go out. You have to go to those places to find it. You do not have a choice with Victory Road.
Nope. Well, you do. Kinda.
Like, you can skip Seafoam Islands. We did. You can skip Power Plant. You cannot skip Victory Road. You have to go through it.
Right, but... Well, we'll cover it in Victory Road, but you can skip that encounter easily.
No, yeah, you can. You can. I've skipped all... I went through the whole Power Plant and skipped...
Like,
Moltres.
It is a separate path to go to the Moltres Chamber, but it is stinky that that's where the Moltres Chamber is.
But having Moltres on top of a mountain in Sevi Islands...
Was really good.
Was perfect. It was awesome.
I mean, even if they just said, you know, let's take a detour to this island, just anything. Like, even if the island only existed for Moltres and Blaine at the end said, you know, I hear there's a mythical firebird that I've been searching for and I think it's on this island, that something, then it being sort of shoveled in where it is. So, yeah, it just felt rushed. It felt rushed, and I felt like, okay, well, if you don't care, I don't care that much. I'm just going to burn through this game at this point.
Yeah, it's
it is definitely yep.
And I'm not, like, upset, but, like, I knew it was coming, right? I was preparing for no Sevi Islands. I was preparing for the ease that was Blaine, and I was like, you know, they surprised us with Mina.
Yeah.
You know, they've surprised us with the Cycling Road. Maybe they'll do something here. And,
I mean...
But no, they didn't.
No, I mean, the surprise, I guess, was Megastones and Blue. Like, if they had kept Megastones a secret and just had not announced that beforehand, then I think that moment would have been better. But as it was, we knew at some point you were getting them. I think it's supposed to be a bigger impact that you were getting them before the final gym and not post-game, but it was not a big enough impact to make that moment really shine like the others.
Well, sorry to leave on a downer.
Well, I mean, I get to go fight you again on Route 22 and make you look like the fool you is.
I wanted that pacing to be fixed, and I wanted Moltres to have its moment, but here we are.
You're not going to get it.
That's okay.
Spoiler alert.
I think next episode will be our final.
Oh, no.
The Victory Road and Elite Four. I'm trying to remember. I think the final one comes out on Monday or Tuesday, and then, you know, we'll go back to regular Monday episodes following that. But, you know, with that being said, if you are liking these episodes and you just want to see more content in general, this is what I do full time. So if you would like to support, and I said this before, I think on one of the episodes, I wasn't trying to be very heavy with like ads and stuff, but if you want to support, you can head over to patreon.com/itssupereffective or isc.cash. And if you want to throw $2 our way every single month, any new patron for November does get some Eevee stickers mailed to them, which at that point, I think for the envelope and the stamp and the sticker, that's more than $2, but it's like a welcome of like, hey, these podcasts come out every Monday. These episodes every day, but we're coming to an end. But hopefully you're liking the shows. Our next episode will be Elite Four and Victory Road. So as always, Greg.
Yes.
Smell you later.
Smell you later.